Hello, Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate in Memphis, Tennessee, as well as to greet Ted Pike this morning. Ted, of course, is the head of the National Prayer Network. If you're not familiar with him, you need to be. We're going to be talking about his website today, talking about the latest in regard to hate crimes legislation, and many of the things that Ted routinely covers in regard to the role of the Jewish lobby and the Israeli lobby in the domestic American political scene and the way in which they have impacted, much to our detriment, American foreign policy. As I've said before at an earlier stage of the show, Ted Pike, and I say this sincerely, this is not false flattery, he stands in positive contrast to the mouthpieces of the Israeli lobby who refer to themselves as Christians. That includes John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. It clearly includes Pat Robertson and the late Jerry Falwell. It includes Cal Thomas and some of the other folks who have made support for the Zionist State of Israel the centerpiece of their ideological program, which ultimately, in my view, is going to result in the destruction of the American Republic. Ted Pike is a giant in this movement, much like Chuck Carlson is, if we hold these truths. And whenever I talk to one of these two guys, I always learn something new. Pastor Pike, how are you, sir?
A little good. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, I always enjoy having you, Ted. You've been on one other time. I've also had Harmony Grant on one occasion, of course, who works for your organization. And I always profit by reading your media updates. I'm always disturbed at one level by what I read, because it reminds me of things that I'd rather forget about in regard to their going on in this country. But on the other hand, I need to know these things. The listeners need to be aware of it. And when it comes to hate crimes legislation, which is an ominous development both in this country and in Canada, what's the current status of this thing in the United States?
Well, the House version of the federal so-called anti-hate bill did pass about a month or so ago. That was in the House of Representatives, H.R. 1592, passed overwhelmingly. Now, we were expecting the Senate version to go through about as quickly, but actually it suddenly stopped. And what basically happened, I believe, as the Jewish Forward newspaper revealed, was that the Jewish community, that is the organized Jewish community in America, was up in arms, hearing that President Bush was threatening to veto this legislation in favor of the evangelicals. And I believe what really happened there was they needed some time to organize. They said that they were going to mount massive pressure along with the homosexuals and liberal Christians and so on upon President Bush to make sure that even if this bill was defeated in the Senate, they could get him to renege on his promise. Now, right at this moment, the bill is still in the Senate Judiciary Committee. But I made some calls several days ago to the kingpins of the pro-hate bill forces, which are the two co-sponsors of the hate bill, Senator Smith's office and Senator Kennedy's office. And I discovered there that they are taking the Senate version of this hate bill very seriously. They are hoping to move it forward, in fact, as soon as a slot can be found in the legislative calendar. And they're also hoping to, they're expecting a filibuster from the Republicans on the floor of the Senate over this bill. They do think they have the 60 votes necessary to pass it. But in case there's a big filibuster fight, they're hoping they can call for a vote on cloture, which would be about 60 votes, and get the Republicans limited in the time of the debate and actually pass the bill with 51 votes, which is considerably less than the 60 necessary under most circumstances.
We'll be back with Ted Pike. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. Among many things, we are talking about the hate bill, The House version of this bill passed on the 3rd of May. The Senate version is S-1105. It's been in the Senate Judiciary Committee, but Pastor Pike is now telling us that after conversations with staffers of Senators Kennedy and Smith, it would appear that this legislation is going to make it out of committee, and at some point it's going to be on the floor of the United States Senate. Ted, do you think that they've got the votes to pass this thing, and do you think that the Jewish lobby is going to be successful if it does pass the U.S. Senate in getting Bush to renege on his pledge to veto this thing?
Well, I was told by Senator Kennedy's office that they do have the 60 votes. And actually, several years ago, they had a lot more than that. They had 65 votes, 65 to 37, I believe, was the vote, and it did pass resoundingly in the Senate. I don't know exactly what the votes are, but I would think that if it does move out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, we must presume they have the votes. They're racing it forward toward a certain passage. All I can say is right now, as soon as we see it moving out of the Senate Judiciary, I certainly will sound a major alert, and we'll have to have an upheaval of protest such as we've never had before, because this is extremely dangerous legislation. I believe that this is the most dangerous legislation ever to come before our republic. And on the other hand, I really don't know about George Bush. You see, the problem is in his first term in office, he said he would pass some kind of modified hate crimes legislation. So he has two different messages he's giving to us. Number one, he would pass it if it were modified. And number two, which is the present stance, that he will veto it. The power of the Jewish lobby, of course, is enormous, and George Bush doesn't want to offend them. It's almost political suicide to make Jewish activists nationwide angry at you and out to get you. But we don't know exactly what will happen. I was told, however, by both Senator Kennedy and Smith's office that if the hate bill is vetoed, it passes the Senate and is vetoed by the president, that the forces, pro-hate bill forces, will very quickly move this legislation back into the House, back into the Senate, and try to get a two-thirds majority vote out of both of those branches of Congress overturning the veto. Now, if they can't do that, I was also told that they will mount an intensive publicity campaign pressuring the president and trying to get meetings with the president. Senator Kennedy, Senator Smith, and other leaders of the hate bill forces will try to meet with the president and try to work out some kind of a compromise hate bill. I was told by Senator Smith's office that they were very aware of his statement in his first term that he would be interested in a modified hate bill. And that's kind of a light at the end of this tunnel for them if everything else fails. But meanwhile, the American people have got to be basically shouting their lungs out from the other aisle and letting the administration know that we will hold the administration to that promise. We will, in fact, if we hear of any member of the Senate who does vote for the hate bill, the constituents of that senator have got to tell him they will certainly never vote for him again, and they and their friends will do their very best to have him defeated in the next election.
Ted, your statement that this is the most dangerous legislation to ever make its way through the House and potentially through the Senate is a very revealing statement. It's a very weighty statement. Why do you believe that this thing is that dangerous?
Well, number one, the original hate crimes law, which was actually passed back in 1968 at the height of the civil rights movement, Section 2 of Title 18 says that if anybody aids or abets or counsels anyone to basically commit a hate crime of intimidation through violent or means of threat, that person will be indicted and have to stand trial along with the person that they aided, abetted, and counseled. Now, what this means in the original form of the hate bill is that a person who is in the pulpit, on talk radio, is a commentator or is a publisher, anyone who's disseminating opinions basically critical of homosexuality, they stand in danger of being a co-defendant in a hate crimes charge in case some unstable person actually resorts to threats of violence or actual violence against members of a federally protected group, such as homosexuals, Jews, and so on. Now, this threat against those who might quote the Bible, which says that homosexuality is an abomination, or might read stories of the Old Testament describing how the kings slaughtered homosexuals to the approval of God and so on, that's considered hate speech in Canada today. That is certainly immediately an indictable offense to read those passages with any conviction out of the pulpit and so on. And what's happening now is that, you see, that original hate crimes law could not be enforced because the federal government doesn't have the powers of enforcement to come down and intervene in states' rights in law enforcement. That's what this big federal hate bill is all about. It's going to give teeth, real teeth, to the 1968 law, making it an indictable offense for anyone to counsel or aid and abet by verbal statements, strong sentiments of intimidation and so on against homosexuality. And also this bill is very dangerous because basically what it does is it sets up a bias-oriented justice system here in the United States, just like Canada's, where bias motivation behind a crime becomes the pretext for federal intervention at all levels in states' law enforcement. And also, because it sets up this brand-new bias-oriented justice system, which runs parallel to our traditional Anglo-Saxon law, what it does is it basically turns over the fleshing out and the development of this new legal system over to federal local judges. And these judges will adjudicate from the bench, basically making hate crimes law. And you see, this legislation, well, ostensibly on the surface, it's only supposed to give teeth to the federal government to put down violent physical hate crimes in the states. Actually, what will happen, as has happened in other countries, is that once that bias-oriented system, justice system is in place, then the judges will broaden that. They will say, well, we have to protect homosexuals and Jews not just from physical bias-motivated violence. No, we have to protect them from verbal violence, those words that cut and hurt and make them feel guilty and diminished. And, of course, that's a perfect description of the Bible, where it says homosexuality is an abomination and that the Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago killed the Son of God. Those are all considered words of hate speech coming from hate literature of the Holy Scriptures. So basically, this legislation is a very steep, slippery slope, taking us downward into a speech crime law nationally with tremendous federal teeth to lay down indictments simultaneously all around this country.
Yes, and I think it needs to be underscored that Canada is absolutely instructive as far as the warning that it presents to us. Kurt Nimmo recently sent me some stuff that's going on up there in regard to the Anti-Defamation League utilizing a Jewish businessman to bring some allegations before the so-called Canadian Human Rights Commission. Kurt Nimmo and a very responsible Canadian journalist representing a publication, I believe, PEJ, if I'm remembering it correctly, a fellow by the name of Chris Cook. Nimmo and Cook and a few other people have been charged with what in Canada, I guess, is the so-called crime of anti-Semitism for merely saying, merely speaking, merely writing in a responsible way the things that you or I might have said, Ted, yes, just in regard to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
That's right. Up there, it is considered anti-Semitic, for example, to alleged from the pulpit that the Jews had Christ crucified 2,000 years ago. Also, our own State Department is now laying down guidelines of what is anti-Semitism. We have a new ADL-controlled Department of Global Anti-Semitism, which has been in place now for several years. And on my website, which is truthtellers.org, I have quite a lengthy article enumerating the Department of Anti-Semitism's perverse definitions of that term.
Yes, when we come back with Ted Pike, I want to take a look at this so-called Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, which George Bush signed into law on October the 16th, 2004, and how that might be an ominous precursor of things to come with the contemporary hate crimes legislation in the form of S-1104. We'll be back with Ted. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. And in regard to our conversation today, we're first and foremost zeroing in on this whole business of hate crimes legislation. This has passed the U.S. House of Representatives. There's a Senate version, S-1105, that is presently in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Pastor Pike tells us that the reason for this probably is because, as he puts it, organized national Jewry is presently mobilizing pressure on George Bush not to veto S-1105 if it makes its way through the full U.S. Senate. Pastor Pike has gone on to explain to us that after his conversation with staffers of Senators Kennedy and Smith in the last day or two, they have indicated to him that the chances are excellent that this bill will be moved out of judiciary, that it will make it onto the full floor of the U.S. Senate. And they believe that they've got the necessary votes for passage. We'll see what happens with this, but this is an ominous development. Keep a close eye on this, folks, both in terms of the U.S. Senate and if it should pass the U.S. Senate, what George Bush ultimately will do in this regard. As Pastor Pike has mentioned to us, this is absolutely the most draconian piece of legislation that has potentially ever made its way through the House and Senate of the United States. If it becomes law, we are talking about fundamental changes in your First Amendment rights. This is an incredible thing that is happening totally under the radar of corporate media, for all of the most obvious reasons that I think Pastor Pike could explain to us. And if you want some good, timely, regular information on this, go to the National Prayer Network's website. That is www.truthtellers.org. That's www.truthtellers.org. Sign up for the news alerts. They are most timely and will keep you informed up to the very minute in regard to what's happening both in the Senate Judiciary Committee, potentially what's going to happen on the full floor of the U.S. Senate, and keep a close eye out for Mr. Bush. Pastor Pike, in regard to this Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, I have a document in front of me that indicates that Mr. Bush signed this on October the 16th, 2004. And in regard to what he signed, apparently it defines this Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, which, as you've indicated, sets up this special department within the U.S. State Department to monitor global anti-Semitism, goes on to define a person as being anti-Semitic if they purport any of the following beliefs. I have 14 different ones listed in front of me. We could discuss any or all of the 14. But suffice it to say that as far as the things that I talk about here at RBN and that Hesham Talawi and Michael Collins Piper talk about in this network, the sorts of things that Piper and Mark Glenn routinely cover for the American Free Press, all of these guys, according to this Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, are anti-Semites. And, of course, you would be tagged with this, too, according to the definition that I have in front of me. Interact with that a little bit, and should we see Bush's signature on this thing 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, as an indication that ultimately he will cave when it comes to S-1105?
Well, there was virtually no protest of this legislation when it was sneaked through by the Anti-Defamation League, and that's a very different situation than we have now, where we have really massive awareness and protest among the evangelical Christians and the conservatives, the new right here in the United States. I'm not sure whether that easy passage was indicative of what will happen in the weeks ahead in the Oval Office concerning the hate bill, but one of the most disturbing things about these 14 criteria of what is an anti-Semite, which I glean from many, many reports of what department says are anti-Semitic incidents around the world, is that it says that those who believe that the Jews had Jesus Christ crucified 2,000 years ago, in other words, those who are evangelical Christians upholding the New Testament testimony, are anti-Semitic. Now, what this does, in a word, is it puts a noose around literally millions, tens of millions of evangelical Christians, basically saying they are now anti-Semitic for upholding the New Testament position. And, of course, this is in complete agreement with the stand of the Anti-Defamation League, Abe Foxman, who is a pious Orthodox Jew and head of the Anti-Defamation League. In his recent book called Never Again, The Threat of the New Anti-Semitism, he says that the New Testament is the cause of anti-Semitism through the last 2,000 years.
When we come back, let's explore that rather dubious proposition. We'll be back with Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. Ted's bringing us up to speed on hate crimes legislation, that which has already passed the U.S. House of Representatives, that in the Senate, S-1105, which is currently in the Senate Judiciary Committee, which Senators Kennedy and Smith seem to believe will shortly make its way to the floor of the U.S. Senate to be, we presume, passed there. If it makes it to the floor, it will pass, we guess. And if it does, we then go to the larger issue of whether or not George Bush will bend once more to the pressure of organized Jewry in the United States and sign this draconian legislation. If all of that plays out in that fashion, we would be dealing with the same tragedy that the Canadians are now dealing with when it comes to the way in which the Anti-Defamation League and affiliated organizations are utilizing the Canadian Human Rights Commission to persecute people for merely speaking their minds responsibly and decently in regard to the Israeli lobby and other things that affect their lives, both in their respective countries as well as in the Middle East. Ted, talking about this whole business then of anti-Semitism and this so-called Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, which Bush did sign almost 3 years ago now, this thing has gone so far, apparently, that you have people like Abe Foxman basically coming across with the idea that, for example, the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Matthew must be anti-Semitic literature because they both allege that there was a specific Pharisaic plot to take the life of Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's true. And not only that, but Jesus excoriated the great heroes of rabbinic Judaism, the Pharisees, in the most scathing terms. And there are many passages in the New Testament which Foxman considers virulently anti-Semitic. For example, as you mentioned, John saying he's Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son, and then Christ's words in Revelation that the Jews who reject him constitute the synagogue of Satan. On and on, Paul, others are very, very specific, saying that organized world Jewry, those who reject Christ, are the enemies of the gospel. Well, what Foxman says, what the Department of Anti-Semitism now says, is that these thoughts, these basically Christian New Testament thoughts, have provided a seed of hatred throughout the centuries, augmented by theologians, which ultimately resulted in the Holocaust against the Jews during the Second World War. And so Christianity basically is a hateful and a hurtful religion, according to Foxman. And, of course, he can say those kinds of things against Christianity, and that's not considered a violation of any hate crimes laws. But if Christians say harsh things against Judaism and the Talmud, that immediately is an indictable offense in countries like Canada, England, and Germany, and so on.
Well, someone suggested to me the other day that the Jewish lobby is in the process of what they described as overreach. And in that overreach, that there would be a backlash against this sort of thing. Do you anticipate that that's what's going to happen here?
Well, it's very interesting. The international version of this Department of Global Anti-Semitism is the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. This is a product of ADL, B'nai B'rith International. Now, of course, the Anti-Defamation League is the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And B'nai B'rith is this huge liberal Jewish activist organization with presences in 55 nations of the world. They have about a half a million Jewish activists as members and about 2,100 lodges and chapters worldwide. And what B'nai B'rith International basically has done is to convince most of the nations of the Western industrialized world to adopt their so-called anti-hate laws. And they have Jewish activists, as I say, by the hundreds of thousands who are lobbying the parliaments and legislatures in all of these countries. Anyway, B'nai B'rith International has established a huge hate crimes Gestapo in Europe, getting no less than 56 nations now to join them in accepting their twisted criteria of what is a hate crime and so on. But in their recent conference, this is about the fifth international conference, I believe they had it in Budapest just recently, they are considering that worldwide anti-Semitism is basically out of control, and their top priority above every other issue is now to put the kibosh on anti-Semitism through stiffer enforcement of any kind of criticism of matters Jewish. Now, previously they were giving a lot of attention to those who criticize homosexuality and other ethnic problems and so on. But now they are feeling the heat of a national exposure and criticism of the Jewish agenda, evil Jewish leadership worldwide. I believe, and they have stated this, that the origins of most of this anti-Semitism is coming from alternative talk radio in America, which is blasting out over the Internet to every corner of this planet. And broadcasting networks like the Republic Network, the Genesis Network, and so on, are making use of the Internet to cross national boundaries and cultural zones and so on and bring new and fresh criticisms of Israeli misbehavior in the Middle East, Jewish control of the media, Jewish legislative agendas, hate crimes laws, and all of that. And this is just really giving the ADL B'nai B'rith people hives. They don't know what to do about it. They're desperate. In countries like Canada, they've enacted strict laws banning Internet criticism of matters Jewish and so on. But they haven't been able to do that in the United States. And that's one of the reasons they are so desperate to get a federal hate bill passed right now, which will nationalize and federalize any criticism as a hate crime of matters Jewish, joining in with the Department of Global Anti-Semitism and then uniting globally, working toward international enforcement of hate crimes laws.
When it comes to this whole business then of hate crimes legislation, it sounds to me like it's a part of a two-pronged strategy. Of course, they've already got control of corporate media for all the obvious reasons, but so they would have to pass this hate crimes legislation as part of the attempt to suppress freedom of expression and free exchange of ideas as it relates to matters Jewish and Israeli. The other thing quite clearly would be putting Internet talk radio and other alternative forms of media out of business. This would involve, of course, not simply groups like the Republic Broadcasting Network, but obviously print journals like the American Free Press, and certainly what you're doing, Ted, with the National Prayer Network. So, you know, again, I think when we look at the hate crimes issue, the other side of that coin that complements it is going to be this attempt to regulate these alternative forms of media out of existence.
Well, not only that, but the big phone companies and cable companies, which are largely Jewish-dominated and with real ADL sympathizers at the top. We're talking about Comcast with Ryan Roberts, who's Jewish, a Jewish activist at the top, and Verizon with Ivan Friedenberg at top. They are also lobbying Congress very powerfully now to give them commercial monopolies over, basically over the Internet and phone services. This, you know, traditionally our phone services, which of course means Internet, were viewed as a public service in which Bell Corporation and so on was licensed by the government to work for the people at limited financial benefit perhaps, but as a public good. Now these big Jews who both received awards from ADL and so on are making a power bid to take over the Internet by basically commercializing it so they can give preferential treatment to certain big spenders on the Internet and so on. So this is really a third prong. If they can get control of the Internet, then they can gradually edge out those who make use of the Internet, all the way from the private individual to radio networks like Republic and Genesis.
Yes, and quite clearly that would affect all of us if that ever comes to pass. Do you see, Ted, a circumstance, because I know that you're not only involved in what you do politically and culturally, you also know something about biblical eschatology. Do you foresee, in your reading of what is happening in the United States, as well as what has already taken place in Europe and Canada, a scenario where many of us at some point are going to endure a level of persecution beyond anything we could have ever imagined in this country, the United States, and that eventually people like yourself, people like Michael Collins Piper, Mark Glenn, John Stadtmiller, and so forth, would be actually treated as criminals?
Yes. Yeah,
Think it'll happen?
Yes, persecution, of course, is distinctive of the last days. Christ said, in fact, that his disciples would be brought up to Jerusalem to be tried in the synagogues and courts and imprisoned for his namesake. And right now, just several years ago, the Knesset in Israel passed a bill giving the government of Israel complete powers to demand the extradition to Israel for crimes against the Jewish people of anyone in any nation who questions the 6 million figure of the Holocaust. Now, obviously, that will be extended to rights of extradition of anyone who criticizes matters Jewish control, the hatred against Christ and Gentiles in the Talmud and Zohar and so on. The crime of anti-Semitism will be legalized worldwide, and we will be brought up in fulfillment of Christ's prophecy, not only to trial in Jerusalem, but trial in the hate crimes tribunal courts. This hate crime philosophy and twisted definitions, this is all the work of ADL B'nai B'rith. They are the ones who persuaded the Canadian Parliament in 1971, after 20 years of lobbying, to enact their federal hate crimes bill, which has been a tremendous thorn in the side of free thinkers and those who might want to think independently about the Holocaust, and especially in the last 5 years against Christians. So we are moving toward persecution. The Jewish Talmud and the Zohar, which are their ultimate inspired scriptures, they prophesy the eventual triumph of Israel over the nation and the slaughtering, the actual killing of the idolaters of the earth, which they are very specific, include those who worship the false a Messiah and false prophet Jesus Christ?
Well, in terms of this kind of a draconian scenario, Ted, which I fully believe will unfold, because like you, I think that it is destined to unfold because of my own perceptions when it comes to biblical eschatology. If you have to guess, and I would be guessing certainly because I'm not God, what sort of time frame would you guess we're talking about before this the system of the beast really begins to unfold?
Well, I think that Europe is a very largely downriver. They're locked into these federal hate crimes bureaucracies and Gestapos over there. As I mentioned, 56 nations now are buying in to the twisted ADL definition that hate is bias against federally protected groups. It's a hate crime to intimidate them or criticize them. But the United States is still an island of relative freedom. And I believe that even though these great events, these gloomy events of the last days are prophesied by the Old Testament and New Testament, I believe God in heaven can stretch and bend, make elastic these fated events. And if the Second Chronicles is very specific that if God's people will turn again and humble themselves and pray and call on him for national deliverance, that he will come and he will heal their land and will give them time. And I believe that we are in a time right now. Obviously, we're in a decisive moment in the history of our republic when we need to act, not just politically, not just by activism of calling and writing the members of Congress, but we have to act in calling to God and in humbling ourselves and realizing the desperation of our times demand national repentance and turning. And God has recorded in Scripture that when he sees even a handful of people in a nation turning and calling and crying out to him, that he has complete power to hold back those tremendous events which might have engulfed that nation. In fact, the Scriptures say that the nations are just a drop in the bucket to him. And if we turn to him and if we humble ourselves before him nationally, I believe that we can still have a generation of freedom in the United States, a generation in which we can speak truth and we can evangelize and we can do a very great deal to fulfill the ideals of the founding fathers. Yes, eventually it's going to collapse as this system, Babylon the Great, which is Israel and world Zionist control, will take over the nations. But I believe that he can stretch and he can prolong the days if, like the ancient kings of Israel and Judah, they humbled themselves and went about in sackcloth and fasting before him.
Well, Ted, as we look at this whole situation, and I know we don't have too much more time this morning, I was reading your recent press release on Jews and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Now, I note that the so-called Global Anti-Semitism Review Act that Mr. Bush signed into law almost 3 years ago indicates that, among other things, if you offer proof that Jews and their leaders created communism and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, you are an anti-Semite, quote-unquote.
Yes.
Clearly, one of your recent news releases, which discussed this subject, indicated that you believe, on the basis of some very hard information, that the Jews were at the center of the communist movement and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Unfold that a little bit for us this morning.
Yes. The Romanov dynasty of Russia, as we approached the beginning of the 20th century, was a Christian nation. It was rather degenerate and formalistic in its religion, but nevertheless it was a Christian nation. And the Jews, which constituted about 1.5% of the population, were very anxious to overthrow the Romanovs. And we'll talk about that a little more in a minute.
We'll be back with Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, talking primarily this morning about hate crimes legislation, especially Senate Bill 1105, presently tied up in the Senate Judiciary Committee, quite probably to make its way to the full floor of the United States Senate for a vote. We need to stop this thing, folks, by any legitimate means available. Tomorrow, by the way, I'm going to have Barrett Tillman on this show. He is the author of the new book on General Curtis LeMay, entitled LeMay. That is a Palgrave Macmillan offering that's a part of their Great General series. But tomorrow, Barrett's going to be talking about his book, Clash of the Carriers, which deals with the Marianas campaign of World War II. Tomorrow is the anniversary of that conflict, by the way, which is why he's going to be with us. Tune in the last hour of the show if you're interested in Barrett Tillman and his book on the Marianas campaign of World War II, entitled Clash of the Carriers. And then Friday I'm going to have John Dominic Crossan of DePaul University, who has written a book entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. So that's what's on tap the next couple of days. Back to my conversation in the final minutes with Ted Pike here. Ted, you were talking about Jews and the Bolshevik Revolution and basically what transpired there. I was impressed by the amount of documentation that you brought to the table on this with your latest news release.
Yes, I was quoting in this latest e-alert largely from the Encyclopedia Judaica, which is definitive of matters Jewish in the 20th century and written primarily for Jews. And in many quotes, especially from their article on communism, they document that the bulk of Jewish youth became communists and enforced and overthrew the Tsar in 1917. I also have many quotes there from the Allied intelligence services, from American, British, Dutch, and so on, very clearly saying that the preponderance of Bolshevik leaders were Jewish. And as many people know, Jacob Schiff, who was the head of Kunin Loeb, which is now Chase Manhattan, floated tremendous loans of over $20 million, which was much more, of course, in value at that time to overthrow the Tsar. And so here was a tiny minority, about the same 1.5% that we have here in the United States, who are now vowing to overthrow President Bush's veto threat. They brought communism into Russia, resulting in over 150 million people being slaughtered. So here's the fruits of Jewish activism, liberal Jewish activism. It was alive in 1917. It's alive right now in the Senate Judiciary Committee of the United States. Maybe before we sign off, I could just give the toll-free number
sure.
to your member of the Senate. It's very important that we make our calls now to the Senate. And you have to start first with your member of the Senate from your district. That toll-free number is 877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437. Call today and let them know that you will not stand for a hate crimes bureaucracy being established in America.
Pastor Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, thank you for being on Mark Danfoss America. You can find Pastor Pike at www.truthtellers.org. Mark Danfoss signing off today on the Republic Broadcasting Network.